And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. We hope your Friday is going well. Currently, it is about 43 degrees outside. And joining us on the phone, as he does the first Friday of each month, we have Representative Doug Blex. And Mr. Blex, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, great, Kyle. It certainly doesn't seem like Christmas season right now, but the weather is great.
It absolutely is. I think we said a high yesterday of like 77, so you're right. It does not feel like the Christmas season yet, although we're going to get cold temperatures coming up again on Monday. So a few things to talk about this morning, and one of the things we always talk about with you is the revenue.
Well, again, good news. We're up about $9.9 million for the month of November, which is about 1.6 above the consensus revenue estimating group prediction. Sales tax were up again about 3%, and our compensating use, which is basically out-of-state sales for the most part, was up again. And I think probably the factor there that we are 25%, almost 26% above the same time last a year ago. So people are still shopping online and spending money, and that's probably not as good for the local merchants, but but anyhow, revenue is good, and the good thing is they've been almost spot on for the most part of the year, so that will give us a real good basis, as well as a governor for developing a budget for next session in January.
All right, so good news to hear about the revenue still up. That's always good news. Also, another thing I want to talk about, and I've been noticing this because I go up to Independence a few times a week or so to do stuff up there. And talking about that road project on what is called 10th Street Independence, depending on where you're at on that road. But that part is in Independence. That thing has been under construction for a while, and it just seems like it's been massively delayed. What do we know about that as of right now?
Well, I'm getting a lot of contacts and constituents kind of bringing that. Normally, you don't get involved in those things too much, but it's a joint project with the state of Kansas, KDOT, as well as local county and Montgomery County commissioners. And it's a county road, but there is joint money in there. And basically, what's happened is that general contract really seems to have a long history of delays, and he's subbed it out to the subcontractor to do the asphalt, and it is just really an unsafe situation. A lot of people are upset over the time. Certainly had great weather. Weather isn't an issue to do it. Maybe a little bit of supply issue and labor, but in reality, penalties have been imposed. They have a deadline to do it. But a lot of times those penalties aren't really enough, are not severe enough to really make the contractor motivate to pull off of another job. And of course, what happens, they have three or four jobs in one at once and work on one and leave two or three others with opening. And I've already contacted our head of transportation, Representative Frail, about it, and we're going to be recommending, I think, to KDOT that this contract will be removed from the approved list. And once a contract is on the approved list, then the local county authorities have to take the low bid, and even though there may be some issues there. So, but in my opinion, I'm kind of simple about that thing. It could avoid a whole lot of issues and problems and safety concerns if somehow whoever was reviewing and writing up the original design and approving that would have said, okay, when you tear out an intersection to a business or a main street, the convenience store down the road, then you must have that replaced at least with gravel so that it's accessible and not an 8-inch drop-off so that people can get back forth. And that's what's really making people mad. And you know, people aren't stupid anymore. They drive by that, see good weather, they see those open holes and nobody working. Obviously, the phone starts ringing, so if the people at the local level don't really do their job or somehow can't do the job, then we get the calls at the state and so on up the line. So hopefully we can get something done on that, but it has caused quite a stir, and it certainly isn't a safety hazard.
And if I remember right, I think this is the same company that worked on 11th Street here in Coffeyville. And if you remember, that project took forever and a day as well.
Yes, as well as West Main and Independence. So they have a terrible track record as far as getting projects done on a timely basis.
Yeah, so hopefully something can kind of get a kick in the pants and get that rolling again. Because like I said, we've had really nice weather for a while now, dry weather, to be able to work on that. So the best time to do it is now, basically. Also, of course, we had the special session about 2 weeks ago, somewhere around there, talking about the vaccine mandate. And you guys put out a couple of bills for that. Just kind of go over those a little bit and your thoughts on those bills.
Well, House Bill 201, which was basically what, in simple terms, it will grant a very simple religious exemption. In other words, all you have to do as an employee is write on a piece of paper, not necessarily a form. The employer can provide a form, but all it has to contain is that it's against my sincere religious belief to take the COVID shot. So the medical is a little bit tougher, but still it's an option. And certainly people were losing their jobs. We actually made unemployment retroactive back to September the 9th, I believe, if you had been previously fired. And now, but I guess it did go very quickly. We were on the floor till midnight that night on Monday the 22nd. Governor Kelly signed the bill on Tuesday, and the Secretary of State, Scott Schwab, published a special edition of the Kansas Register, because in order for a bill to become a law, it has to be officially published. And so the bill immediately became a fact later that day, and then the very next day, our Attorney General, Derek Pitt, released statement advising employers that, hey, you can have a complicated form, and that you're not to question religious exemption by employees. That's my business, not yours. And so we made it very simple. And I've already received some positive effects, comments from people that were on the verge of losing their livelihoods and their jobs, and now they're able to keep their jobs. So you couple that with a temporary injunction for healthcare workers, certain nursing homes and hospitals are in the danger of extremely short staff, as well as even possible closure. So right now, I think people just need to, or federal government just needs to realize that people are too willing to voluntarily do something, but they're not going to be mandated. And so that was a good deal. If they have to ultimately be settled in federal court, but certainly at this point, it is, here right at Christmas time, losing your job, you may have worked 20 years, and all of a sudden, you're a good employee, and the employer comes to you and says, hey, you've got to have the vaccination or you're terminated. Some real horror stories on that. So I'm glad we got that done, and I think it'll really benefit a lot of people.
Definitely agree with you on that. And again, the OSHA one has been kind of put on hold by OSHA, but there's also injunctions on that. And like you said, the CMS, that's actually had an injunction put on it as well A.G. Schmidt. He was one of several attorneys general that filed for that. And then I think they actually have a hearing this morning about the contractor version of the mandate, because this is three different mandates. It's not just one that covers it all. The third one that I think they have a hearing this morning to try to get a preliminary injunction put in on that. And most likely, there probably will be an injunction put on that until everything can get looked at. Would you say so?
Yes, and I appreciate you expanding on that, because I think and keeping up to date on it, because it is really a tough deal on people, and to be forced to losing their livelihoods and for their families, and risk a lot of issues. And I think about the hospital, and they're already struggling, and with short staffing issues, certainly nursing homes, and risk even closure because we don't have the appropriate number of staff as required. So, yeah, a lot of good things are happening. A lot of fights with federal mandates. It's difficult at the state level to do that, but at least we got
about that.
Absolutely. Again, you guys did a great job with that. Also, the last thing you want to talk about was something coming up with a constitutional amendment. What are we talking about on this?
Well, a constitutional amendment requires a two-thirds majority of each chamber, the representatives and the senators, and then governor would meet, decided if you didn't sign it, we could actually have got two-thirds majority that could, suffice for a veto override. But basically, and then that brings an issue to the vote of the people. And the people, and in my opinion, that's the best legislation. When you vote on stuff across the state of Kansas, you get a pretty good idea of how people feel, and generally that's good legislation. And so what would happen there's a big concern that a lot of times in a lot of years we spend, our budget bills spend more than what we actually take in, which is not a good deal. And sometimes I've had to hold my nose and throw some things that I really didn't want to because of that, but yet there's a lot of other good projects that we need to fund. But and generally what happens, this will be my sixth year coming up there, and what I've seen over the years is if there's a surplus of money in the coffers, then somebody comes up with a good project, and it may be a very worthy project or a program, but it costs money. And so there seems to be no ability to cut spending, very little to reduce spending, and so we've actually went above rate of inflation, as well as a lot of other local and city governments, in spending. So what this constitutional amendment would do would say that, hey, if we have a good year like we previously had this year, and we've got excess revenue, rather than develop a new program, we will either do one of two things. We will give a tax rebate, taxes, back to the people who are actually putting the bill, the taxpayer, or we will use that money to pay off an existing debt that we may have had. Papers would be a good example of where previously there may have been some delayed payments, and we owe some back money on that. KDOT, some of the rump funding may have been borrowed, or just borrowing in general. So there's a special committee with House and senators working on that. And hopefully we will get something done, right off the bat of the new session. And then that would bring it a vote to the people. I'm not sure what date that constitutional amendment would be voted on. It probably would be in November, but it could be a primary if it does pass.
All right. So, again, that is coming up here. And then, of course, the legislative session, the new one is coming up in January, and a whole lot of bills that will be coming up with that. Just what is kind of one thing that you would like to see pushed for this next legislative session bill-wise?
Well, I think we're going to, unfortunately, in some ways, we're going to continue to have to play some defense, and I guess maybe that's offense, too, against federal mandates and stuff. We'll continue to pass some stronger bills, get some of those in statute where they would be able to protect our citizens of Kansas. Certainly one personally I've been working on would be allow the APRNs to be able to practice independently on their own. I think that'll be a great asset to rural health care availability. We certainly are looking at issues that would lower taxes on that. Sales tax on grocery is a big popular thing. Our governor said ask the tax. That will cost us, if we do it all, it will cost us probably in the neighborhood of $450 to $550 million lost in revenue because the sales tax on grocery, that I believe personally, and I voted twice over the years up there for at least a 1% reduction in grocery sales tax. I totally support that. I believe that helps lower income people the most. Everybody needs to eat. Everybody pays taxes, all that. Now, it'll be a little bit confusing because you go in and technically buy a rotisserie chicken at the grocery store, That's the paired you're going to pay a tax, but if you buy a, you know, say a pork and beans or whatever, you won't pay it. So, it's using your program, the computer. So I think those are things that we'll probably pass some form of that reduction in sales tax on food.
All right. So, again, that is coming up next session. I know that's going to be a big one as well. Well, sir, I appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, talking about all these questions. And we appreciate it. And we will talk to you again next year.
Well, yeah, I guess that's right. I had thought of that. I might see you down off Real Christmas Parade tonight. I went to Katie last night, and Like I say, it doesn't seem real Christmassy, but we better enjoy this weather while we got it.
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much, though, and for joining us today, and we will talk to you again next time.
All right, and God bless. Have a good day.